This is Audible.
Listening Library presents Illuminae, The Illuminae Files, Part 1, by Amy Kaufman and Jay Kristoff. Read for you by Olivia Taylor Dudley, Lincoln Hoppe, Jonathan McLean, and a full cast.
Memorandum 4, Executive Director Frobisher, from Ghost ID, Incept, 12976. Subject, Alexander Dossier.
So, here's the file that almost killed me, Director. I won't bore you with the tally of databases plundered, light years jumped, or cute sniffling orphans created in its compilation. Our fee already reflects level of difficulty. But this dirt is out there, if you know where to look. Seems your cleanup crews weren't quite as thorough as you'd like, and your little corporate war isn't quite as secret as you'd hoped. You'll find all intel we could unearth concerning the Carenza disaster compiled here in hard copy. Where possible, scans of original documentation are included. Fun times commence with the destruction of the Carenza colony 1 year ago today, and proceed chronologically through events on battle carrier Alexander and science vessel Hypatia, as best as we can reconstruct them. All data are included in original form, along with written transcripts. Some written materials were censored by the UTA and had to be reconstructed by our comm techs, though profanity remained censored, as per your instruction. Sure, the story kicks off with the deaths of thousands of people, but God forbid there be cussing in it, right? The Illuminae Group. In a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. Orwell. Briefing note. The following are extracts from debriefing interviews with the subjects of this dossier, Katie Grant and Ezra Mason. The interviews were conducted shortly after the evacuation of Carenza.
Ministry of the Interior, United Terran Navy, Alexander Fleet. Incept 13075.
Interviewer. Tell me about yesterday.
Katie Grant. I was in class when it started. This is going to sound stupid, but I broke up with my boyfriend that morning, and he was right there on the other side of the room. And staring out the window and coming up with all the things I should say to the jerk, when these ships fly right overhead and all the windows start shaking.
Did you know something was up?
No. You don't jump straight to an invasion. The Carenza settlement wasn't exactly legal. But we still got traffic around the mine and refinery. I figured it was an ore carrier coming in too low and went back to plotting on my idiot ex's downfall.
When did you become aware of the invasion?
That would be when all the sirens started screaming. Some bright spark, who's probably dead now, sounded the spaceport alarms. The Defiant. That was our WUC protection ship. Had transmitted an alert to let us know unfriendly people with big guns had arrived. And
how did you know the Defiant transmitted a warning?
I'm good with computers. I wanted to know what was going on at the port, so I took a look.
You evacuated at that stage?
You make it sound way more organized than it was.
How was it?
All kittens and rainbows. Apart from the screaming and explosions.
How did you make it out?
I'm a lateral thinker.
Meaning you used your compute?
Meaning I broke open a window.
Oh.
I had a truck in the parking lot. I borrowed my mom's because I didn't want to have to take the tube home with him. Having the truck there saved my life. I saw one of my teachers in the lot. And this chunk of metal came screaming in from the sky, and...
Miss Grant?
I had this moment when I thought I'd left the keys in my desk. and I pulled apart my bag and threw stuff everywhere. I guess I knew I wouldn't need any of it again. Isn't that weird? But I found the keys at the bottom and jumped in. And just as I start the engine, I look across and he's standing right there, staring at me. I swear.
Hold on. The survivor list is refreshing. What was the name you were after?
Ezra Mason.
We have him. He's on the Alexander.
Interviewer. Are you okay to continue, Mr. Mason?
Ezra Mason. I'm all right. My shoulder hurts.
I'll have an orderly bring you some more meds. You were saying about your escape from the school.
Never seen anything like it. Just this crush of people and screaming. Teachers, students. I mean, we knew each other. Colony that isolated, everyone pretty much knows everyone, but it was like they all just lost it. I remember getting pushed along in the mob and wondering why the hallway was soft under my boots. And then I realized what I was walking on.
So how did you get out?
I'm 6'5". Played point defense on the school G-ball team. One time I hit this receiver so hard they had to ID him with DNA.
Where did you go after the first missile strike?
Everyone was headed for the tube station, but I figured a tin can in an underground ice tunnel was the last place you'd want to be with bombs going off, so...
Wait, you people had a subway system? I thought this settlement was illegal.
Chum, the Carenza mine operated undetected for 20 years. Whole families lived there. You know how far from the core we are, right?
Maybe further than you might think.
What the hell's that supposed to mean?
Nothing. I'm sorry. You were saying about the subway.
Yeah. Right. Basically, I didn't want to risk it down there, so I lit out through the fire escape. Doubled back into the parking lot, which might not have been the best plan since I didn't have wheels. And I'm looking around, and the sky is raining fire, and I'm still freezing because the wind chill on Carenza could hit 40 below on a bad day. And there she was.
Who?
My ex-girlfriend, who dumped me maybe 3 hours before, so that was... awkward.
What did you do?
Well, I figured there was a good chance she'd just run me over if I stood in front of the truck, so I knocked on the window and said something like, "Lovely day for a drive," and at that point the southeastern anti-missile battery got vaporized by what I assume was a missile, so maybe you might want to note in your report that those things don't, you know, stop missiles.
So she let you in?
She let me in. I guess she figured she didn't hate me enough to let me get X'd out by a Baytec kill squad. She had to think about it for a minute, though.
How did you know Baytec was behind the attack?
I think the biggest giveaway was the huge Baytec logo on the warship hovering overhead. It had dropped out of the clouds and was X'ing the rest of the defense silos by then.
By warship, you mean the Baytec dreadnought Lincoln?
Yeah, that's them. Fuckers. Wait, can I swear in this thing?
Interviewer. So what happened next?
Katie Grant. We took off out of the parking lot like we were in a chase scene. Some moron had parked blocking the exit, but the truck was all terrain, so we rammed it.
What was it like outside the school?
There were a lot of explosions and a lot of dead people. Dead civilians who worked for a fucking mining company. I mean, imagine you're an interstellar corporation, right? You discover an illegal mining op run by one of your competitors. Do you A, report it to the UTA and laugh as the fines roll in, or B, jump in an attack fleet and X out every man, woman, and child on the planet? What the hell was Baytec thinking?
What you and I need to do is focus on what happened on Carenza. Gathering intel on the attack is the best thing we can do to help right now.
I can't believe this.
Miss Grant.
Okay. Fine. We took the main arterial, and Ezra turned on the radio. For a second, I thought the idiot was looking for the right soundtrack or something, but there was an emergency broadcast up. They were telling us to get to the spaceport, and our research fleet was going to send down shuttles to ferry us all up to orbit.
Interviewer. So, you turned for the spaceport.
Ezra Mason. Yeah, I turned on the radio to maybe find us some getaway music, but there was an emergency broadcast telling everyone to hit the port for evacuation. So that's what we tried to do. But there were cars everywhere and some truck had overturned on the strip. Katie nearly flipped us, and when I offered to drive, she... Well, she called me a very bad word.
I see.
I can repeat it if you want, but...
That's fine, Mr. Mason.
Mr. Mason is my dad. And you still won't tell me why I can't see him.
We need you properly debriefed before you have any civilian contact, Mr. Mason. I mean, Ezra.
Civilian contact? Wow. He's my father, chum. You guys still have fathers, right? Or does everyone in the great United Terran Authority get grown in a bat nowadays?
Why don't you just tell me what happened next?
Baytech blew the fucking spaceport. That's what happened next. Popped a half dozen missiles and turned it into a smoking hole in the ice. I played G-ball with one of the ground crew guys, Rob Flynn. Burton, our next-door neighbor, he worked the quarantine bays. There was this girl, Jody Kingston. I knew her since eighth grade. She worked the port comms rig. She was...
Ezra?
Wow. I just realized she was the first girl I ever kissed.
Interviewer. Do you need a minute?
Katie Grant. No. I need to get this done. Once the spaceport was gone, it was hard to know where to head. Mostly we were just dodging explosions. The ground was shaking, and at first I thought it was the missiles hitting. Then I realized the impacts were cracking the ice shelf under the colony's foundations.
Do you have a background in geology?
I'm 17. Of course I don't. But there were these huge cracks opening up in the ground, big enough to lose a car down. And before you ask how I know that, I saw it happen. There were kids in the back.
So you were driving through the city, and what happened next?
Ezra wanted to find his father. He worked at the refinery, but I told him we couldn't get through the crowd that'd be streaming out of there. His dad's a big guy, like Ez. I told him they'd all be evacuating together, and we had to trust him to keep his feet. If we went in there, someone might have jacked the truck, and then we'd be screwed. I saw a woman pull this guy off a quad bike and take off on it with her kid. I saw a security officer shoot a guy trying to climb into the back of his truck. We weren't going to make it as far as the refinery. I wanted to go for my mom instead, and my cousin Asha. My dad was off-world. He works rotation on Jump Station Heimdall. So it was just Mom and me. She's a pathologist, so she did research. Worked at the med center. Asha was training there.
Do you need me to look up your mother's name on the lists?
No, she made it out. She's here in the Hypatia. I saw her before my interview.
And your cousin?
No, she didn't.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So, did Ezra see reason? Did you go to find your mother?
We started. Ezra's mom isn't around, so mine had just spent a year feeding him. I think she was more upset about the breakup than anyone. We were heading for her lab, and by that time there were people in the streets, riding in all terrains, some on quad bikes, folks on foot. The ground was cracking, and there were chunks breaking off buildings. And all the time there's this huge Baytech ship in the sky, pounding our defenses with missiles. Shuttles were lifting off with civvies evacuating. It was so loud I thought my ears were bleeding. And over the top of all that, Ezra chooses then to start criticizing my driving.
It's hard to believe you guys broke up.
You have no idea. Anyway, that was when half the Cineplex fell in our truck.
Interviewer. Wait, what?
Ezra Mason. I don't know how long I was unconscious for, I came to and thought the sky was covered in spider webs. And then I realize I'm looking through the smashed windshield and we're buried under half a building. The truck is scrapped. Katie's next to me and there's blood all over her face and I couldn't find a pulse. So I dragged her out of the wreckage and started to give her mouth to mouth. And that's when she slugged me. Your Honor.
She hit you?
Yeah, right in the face. Good shot, too. I don't know. She thought I was trying to kiss her. She'd hit her head. She was messed up. So we're gearing up to start yelling at each other, and then we realize the sky is full of cyclone fighter ships. So I figured the cavalry must have arrived.
Could you still see the Lincoln?
No, but we could see that the refinery had been hit. It was covered in this... I don't know. It's hard to describe. It was like a mist, but it was black, creeping in the air real slow like molasses. Not smoke. It was... something different.
You said your father worked at the refinery.
Yeah. So, of course, I want to go look for him. And Katie still wants to go find Mrs. Grant. And the glacier is cracking open, and the sky is on fire. And I think I can see Baytech ground troops in the distance. And then I said it.
Interviewer. What did he say?
Katie Grant. He said... you picked a hell of a day to dump me, Cades.
Interviewer. You honestly said that?
Ezra Mason. Yeah. So all hell breaks loose, and Katie is yelling at me, and I'm yelling back. All this stuff that had been building up for the last year and boiling just under the skin, like, I loved her. I love her. But she had this way of just... it was so stupid. The world is ending all around us, and we're screaming about college applications and commitment and shit. I mean, can you believe that?
You're 17, right?
Almost 18.
Then, yes, I believe it.
Cold, Jum. Real cold.
So what happened next?
I took off. She told me I was being crazy, but I was just furious. And my dad is all I have left, so... yeah. Ran toward the refinery, burning cars and trash buildings everywhere. I saw a cyclone crash into an apartment block right in front of my face. Felt the heat on my skin. I was just keeping low and trying to get closer to the plant, but there were BT troops all over. Big, armor-plated goons in winter camo carrying guns you could kill a glaciosaur with. I didn't really have a plan. I just needed to find my dad. Didn't know what I was going to do once I hit that fog, but... turned out that wouldn't be a problem.
Why's that?
Well, they shot me.
Interviewer. They shot him?
Katie Grant. I couldn't believe it either. Those fuckers should have gotten line. They're not the ones who had to put up with his...
You said you'd parted ways at that stage. How did you find out he'd been shot?
I started by heading towards my mom's lab on foot. But there were a bunch of Baytech troops in the way. They were putting carriers down on the ground and rolling out soldiers and all-terrain vehicles. I was a little concussed, I'm pretty sure. And I know I stopped to puke at one point. I could see shuttles landing out by the labs to do evac, so I just hoped my mom was getting on one of them. I knew I wasn't going to make it across town to her. I wasn't going to make it anywhere without another truck. So I stole one from the Baytech crew.
I'm sorry, you what?
I'm frequently underestimated. I think it's because I'm short.
They didn't want it back?
Probably. They were pretty busy jumping out of the way. Also, I knew my way around the middle of town. They didn't. I took some sharp corners around the back of the community complex, scraped the truck doors right off. But when I got out the other end, I'd lost them. Our people didn't have weapons to shoot at me with. And theirs thought I was on the same team, I guess.
What happened next?
There was this filthy black cloud oozing down from Atmo toward the refinery. And I knew that was where Ezra was. I heard it was some kind of bio attack. Is that true?
I don't know. You said he was shot. So I guess you found him.
On the wrong end of a Baytech platoon, bleeding everywhere. I kind of freaked out when I saw it all.
Were you able to retrieve him?
Are there likely to be any prosecutions for stuff that happened down there?
They X'd out a quarter of my crew. None of us are going to weep if you're telling me you took out a Baytex squad to get to him.
Like I said, I'm pretty small, and there was a lot of blood all over everything. I guess my foot slipped on the accelerator. It was hard to reach, you know. I ran a bunch of them down and pulled up right beside him.
What did he do?
He said, "Hey, Cades." What a catch, seriously. The truck's door was missing, though, so it was easy for him to climb in, and we took off like we were out running a blizzard. We could see shuttles coming down on the outskirts of town, and they didn't have Baytex markings on them, so we risked it. We were hoping they were evacs sent by our research fleet.
Interviewer. And then what?
Ezra Mason. I don't remember much. I think I made a joke about needing to see her license and registration. Because, you know, she just ran over a bunch of...
I get it.
Right. And then I said, "I'm bleeding," and she said, "Shut up, I'm not talking to you." So I just kind of concentrated on not dying. There was blood everywhere. It hurt so much I think I started laughing. Maybe I was going into shock. Katie was yelling at me to put pressure on it, but it hurt less if I didn't. There were fighters overhead. I remember being really cold. I remember looking at Katie driving, covered in blood, with her hair crusted with snow and everything. I think I told her she was beautiful. And then the lights went out.
Interviewer. You made it to the shuttles?
Katie Grant. We made it close. We were driving a Baytex truck now, so I had to stop and drag Ezra across the ice so they could see we were civvies. A couple of the med center staff had made it out there, so they were putting the wounded on shuttles with those guys, and the rest of us into the others. I was screaming my head off, trying to get someone to help me lift him in. I don't even know how I dragged him. The whole time there were these missiles arcing in and exploding around us. Fire starting. I guess they decided if I could yell that loud, I wasn't hurt bad enough to make the wounded shuttle, so they made me leave him with the doc. That's how he ended up on the Alexander and I ended up on the Hypatia.
You've been very helpful. Did you see whether any missiles hit the refinery?
I don't think so. Just the black cloud. They wouldn't blow it up, though, would they? I mean, if Baytex wanted the colony gone, they'd have just ratted to the UTA about it. They obviously wanted the hermium we were mining for themselves. They'd hardly destroy the only way they had to process it.
We can't speculate yet on what their aim was.
I guess if they catch up with us, we can ask them before they blow us to pieces.
Interviewer. There's just one last thing, Mr. Mason.
Ezra Mason. Can this thing please include those pain meds you promised?
We've had another update to the casualty lists. I'm afraid I have some news about your father.
Officer Memorandum. Battle Carrier Alexander 78V. Incept 130-75. From General David Torrance. Classified.
Officers of the Alexander. In the 24 hours since the assault on the Carenza colony, the battle with Baytex forces, and our subsequent withdrawal, our analytics crews have been working round the clock to assess our situation. In summary, here are their findings. Our jump gate generator is heavily damaged. Wormholes can still be created, but will more than likely collapse before a jump can be executed, resulting in the Alexander's destruction. Acting Chief of Technical Engineering, Colonel Ava Sanchez, reports the damage is irreparable, given our current resources, most notably the death of Mallory Iserman, our former CTE. Essentially, independent jump travel is not an option. The closest static jump gate able to return us to a core system is Jump Station Heimdall. Though the station itself is on the other side of the universe, a waypoint wormhole leading to Heimdall is 6.5 to 7 months' travel away at current speeds. In short, we are looking at over half a year's journey before we can jump to safety in a populated zone. Missile strikes sustained in the battle have damaged our Artificial Intelligence Defense Analytics Network, AIDEN, responsible for many vital shipboard functions, including main drive control and jump gate calculations. The same missiles that damaged AIDEN also eliminated a considerable percentage of our neurogramming staff. Although AIDEN is self-repairing and still functional, the full extent of the damage is unknown. Several other areas of the ship sustained damage, most notably our H2O reservoirs, defense grid, and propulsion systems. At least one Baytech dreadnought participating in the Carenza attack, BT-042TN, a.k.a. the Lincoln, survived the battle and is currently in pursuit of our fleet. With existing damage and crew levels, our tactical staff estimates we have a 22.7% chance of surviving should the Lincoln engage us. The two civilian transports we are currently escorting, science vessel Hypatia and heavy freighter Copernicus, are carrying 3,348 civilians from the Carenza colony. Alexander is carrying a further 1,097 civilians. Given aforementioned damage to Alexander's H2O reservoirs, this overpopulation will place increased strain on our supply situation. Neither the Hypatia nor the Copernicus will be of assistance should the Lincoln engage us. Distress calls have been issued on all United Terran Authority channels via the Heimdall waypoint. No reply has been received. In all likelihood, this means our transmissions have not been heard. In short, ladies and gentlemen, we are bleeding badly, and there are sharks in the water. We are understaffed and outgunned, and over 6 months from a realistic escape point. As such, I am issuing the following order, effective immediately. Any Carenza colonist with a skill set useful in plugging our shortfalls is to be conscripted into the United Terran Authority military. Engineers, medical personnel, scientists, anyone with a history of military service. Furthermore, every Carenza colonist 17 years or older will be immediately tested for aptitude in computer science, mechanics, electronics, spatial awareness, pattern prediction, hand-eye coordination, twitch reflex, and stress management. Anyone showing C-grade ability or better is to be conscripted the day they hit 18. We need pilots. We need gunners. We need spanner monkeys and chip heads. And we need them now. This is an unprecedented situation. To my knowledge, no Stellar Corps has ever openly attacked a United Terran Authority ship. I don't care if Baytech Industries' litigation department has enough red tape to gift-wrap a small moon. These corporations need to learn nobody is above the law, and nobody attacks a UTA vessel without consequences. You have worked tirelessly, acquitting yourselves with distinction and valor. We have lost comrades. We have lost brothers and sisters and those we love dearly. I know the past few days have been hard. The road ahead will be harder still. But knowing each of you as I do, I have no doubt you will rise to the challenge before us and get these civilians to the Heimdall waypoint alive. Centrum Tenenda. David Torrance, General, United Terran Authority, Commander Alexander, 78V.
Briefing note. Director, although most of the intel in this dossier was acquired through covert means, we did discover one public channel with surprisingly accurate intel about the Carenza assault itself. The hacktivist website known as Unipedia. Most readers of Unipedia are probably wearing tinfoil hats in their mother's basements, but you might want to open a hellgate or two and unleash your lawyers anyway. We've included Unipedia's coverage here for completion's sake.
Unipedia, eyes and mouth open. Carenza, Battle of. Intro. The Battle of Carenza IV was the opening salvo in the ongoing and bafflingly unreported Stellar Corp War. Initiated by Baytech Industries, the assault targeted illegal hermium mining operations owned by the Wallace-Ulyanov Consortium. United Terran Authority vessel Alexander answered WUC distress calls, resulting in a three-way throwdown between Baytech, WUC, and UTA forces. Background. Carenza IV is situated in free space, approximately 34.5 AU from a waypoint leading to static jump station Heimdall. The planet contains unusually high concentrations of hermium on its polar ice shelf. In violation of the Interstellar Exotic Materials Act of 2514, the Wallace-Ulyanov Consortium had been conducting illegal mining operations on the planet since approximately 2556, relying on the system's remoteness to keep its activities undetected. Operations were protected by the dreadnought Defiant and serviced by heavy freighter Copernicus. At the time of the battle, two WUC science vessels, Hypatia and Brahe, were also in orbit around Carenza IV. Initial assault. At 1421 hours, local standard, on 1-29-75, four Baytech dreadnoughts, Churchill, Kenyatta, Zhongzheng, and Lincoln, dropped from an ephemeral wormhole created by mobile jump platform Magellan. A black bag prototype and, to Unipedia's knowledge, the first mobile jump tech ever developed outside of a UTA lab. The entire fleet then proceeded toward Carenza IV. WUC defense vessel Defiant was quickly destroyed, though not before it could issue distress calls. Due to Carenza's relative isolation, the BT fleet presumed these calls would go unanswered. Sadly, for Baytech, one ship did receive the Defiant's SOS, the United Terran Authority's Alexander, a Vortex-class battle carrier also capable of generating its own jump gates, which was on covert maneuvers near Carenza VII. The Alexander attempted to send communications to UTA HQ via the Heimdall waypoint, but Baytech agents aboard the station itself ensured the signal never made it through. Receiving no response, the Alexander jumped to Carenza IV without support. For more on the occupation of Heimdall Station and the resistance movement, see sub-articles. With their hand caught in the proverbial cookie jar by the UTA, the Baytech fleet made the astounding decision to attack the Alexander in the hope of eliminating the witnesses. Instead, the Alexander critically damaged mobile jump platform Magellan, cutting off Baytech's retreat. As the BT fleet engaged Alexander, shuttles ferried civilians from the decimated settlement onto the Hypatia, Brahe, and Copernicus. Reports that an unknown bioweapon was used on the settlement by Baytech dreadnought Lincoln are unconfirmed. During the nuclear exchange that followed, the Zhongzheng was destroyed, and the Churchill and Kenyatta sustained massive damage. The Alexander took several hits. Sources report both its jump gate generator and its artificial intelligence matrix were compromised. No ships in the Carenza system were now capable of jump travel, meaning any assistance would be months away. The Baytech group closed to a range unsafe for the use of nuclear ordnance. The Alexander launched its Cyclone-class fighter craft, with the Baytech group launching its Warlock fighters in kind. It is believed the Baytech ship Lincoln destroyed science vessel Brahe at this point. Unconfirmed reports estimate at least 2,000 civilians had been evacuated onto the Brahe from the settlement below.
Briefing note. This is the first attempt at contact on record between the subjects, 2 weeks after the Carenza attack.
Intercepted personal message on board System Alexander. To Katie Grant, K. Grant Hypatia on board. From Ezra Mason, E. Mason Alexander on board. Date 2-14-75. Timestamp 14:04 hours. Subject Hey.
Hey, Cades. They told me almost everyone on the Hypatia has been fixed up with an onboard comms account now. I hope you get this. I'm not sure what you know and what you don't. Everything is a mess over here. The military don't really tell us anything. But I wanted you to know I made it out alive. I wanted to say thanks. Without you, I don't think I'd be here. Delete that. I don't think. I know. I'm in the med bay on board Alexander. My shoulder is almost 100%. Still trying to figure out what the hell happened. I heard a rumor that the Alexander's jump drive is bricked. There's definitely something up with the water supply, but they won't say what. Someone else said the Baytech dreadnoughts that attack the colony are still chasing us. But I also heard we're just days away from meeting up with a whole UTA fleet, so maybe we'll be safe soon. I feel bad about what happened between us. I keep feeling like there's something I could have said to fix it. And then I wonder if I'm an idiot for even thinking that way. I wonder if it was supposed to happen. I mean, if you hadn't broken it off, if you hadn't driven to school that day, we'd both be dead, right? If that's not the universe's way of telling me it wasn't meant to be, I don't know what is. Anyway, I'm glad you and your mom made it out. I hope you're okay. Happy Valentine's Day. Love, E.
Grant Cady. Psych Profile. Conscript Suitability Assessment. Incept 2-1775, page 2. Suggests Ms. Grant is considerably more capable than her test results indicate. When contrasted with the early training exercises she undertook in the Hypatia's makeshift educational facility, her current outcomes are less than impressive. Simply put, she doesn't want to score the sorts of results that would get her into the neurogramming training program. Teamwork. Ms. Grant does not work well with others. The accounts of her peers indicate she was previously a relatively social girl at school, although she did not have a large number of close friends. It is clear that she now prefers her own company. She is, frankly, demoralizing to others in a group situation. Attitude. Ms. Grant displays strong anti-establishment sentiments and has an awkward habit of questioning authority figures at all the wrong moments. This, combined with the intelligence she tries so hard to conceal, makes her something of a liability. It doesn't appear ego is at play, as she is content to be viewed as average. Rather, it appears her queries and, often successful, attempts at destabilization are driven by her personal beliefs. Conclusion: do not conscript. Comments: we'd expend more time combating her games and forcing her to get some work done than could be compensated for by her output. It appears she's willing to leave us alone if we leave her alone, and there are better candidates for recruitment.
Briefing note. In her intake interview, Grant mentioned she was good with computers. In her psych profile, it was noted she was bad with authority. Case in point, her repeated attempts to penetrate shipboard security were noticed by the Alexander's network engineers, and, more importantly, by the fleet's hacker community.
Network Security Incident Report. Breach Attempt 2-1875-0315 hours. Record: Liu Shiwei, Network Engineer. Target: Refugee Psych Profiles. Process: Brute Force Cascade Attack on Alexander Data Fort. Outcome: Defended. Breach Attempt 2-1875-0715 hours. Record: Liu Shiwei, Network Engineer. Target: Refugee Psych Profiles. Process: Codeworm interdiction on Alexander Datafort. Outcome, penetration successful. Duration, 3 minutes. Breach attempt, 2-18-75, 18-15 hours. Record, Liu Shiwei, network engineer. Target, Galley database, meal schedule, network engineering. Process, access Trojan infiltration on Galley database. Outcome, penetration successful. Meals to network engineering canceled. Galley database security upgraded to level 3. Breach attempt, 2-19-75, 0-600 hours. Record, Brown, Benjamin Frazier, senior network engineer. Target, crew database, network engineering. Process, access via personal records, penetration method as yet unidentified. Outcome, penetration successful. Network engineer Shi Wei Lu deleted from database. Attempt to restore profile underway.
Briefing note. We believe the following exchange is the first contact between Grant and a member of the fleet's underground community. It takes place 3 weeks after the rescue and shortly after her tangle with shipboard security. The sender is Byron Zhang, a research officer aboard the Hypatia, and a known information liberty activist. There was almost no trace remaining of this contact, and some sections could not be retrieved. This guy knew what he was doing.
Intercepted personal message on board system Hypatia. To Katie Grant, K. Grant Hypatia on board, from Ghost ID, Fail. Date, 2-20-75. Timestamp, 23-17 hours. Subject, the sound of one hand clapping.
You've been busy, my friend. I...
Unable to retrieve.
Very entertaining piece of hacking. There are 8,340 people aboard our fleet, and there's a skill here for every occasion. You don't...
Unable to retrieve.
Teach yourself. Breakthrough into Shell Ref 436HT and...
Unable to retrieve.
Show you what's out there.
This message will shred automatically for security purposes. This message will shred automatically for security purposes. This message will shred automatically for security purposes.
Briefing note. Grant responds to Zhang using the handle Bite Me. Took her 87 minutes to crack his intrusion counter electronics.
Participants, Bite Me, Sit B. Date, 2-21-75. Timestamp, 0-0-44 hours. Shell Ref, 436-HT. Begin Hypatia chat basic V9 code.
Bite me. That all you got?
Sit B. Ah, the new girl.
Sure it is. But who are you?
The guy who can show you how to get all the info you've been trawling for. And more.
In exchange for what? Nothing comes for free in this place.
For you, no cost but time. For the folks upstairs, plenty. The Alexander is a military ship, and here on Hypatia we are civilians. But emergency or not, we have a right to more information than they give us. Our lives are on the line too. You want to join the fight? You're welcome.
Just like that?
You've been sitting your entry exam these last 3 weeks, Grasshopper. Been watching you poke around inside the system. You don't like being kept in the dark either. Seen you keeping an eye on a few things. On a few people.
Well, you don't sound creepy at all.
What I sound like is someone who knows more than you. You want lessons or not?
Want.
Then let's get started.
intercepted personal message on board system Alexander. 2. Katie Grant, K. Grant Hypatia on board. From Ezra Mason, E. Mason Alexander on board. Date 3-18-75. Timestamp 21:32 hours. Subject, knock knock.
Hey, Kay. I'm not sure if you'll get this. I mailed you last month, but maybe it didn't go through. If things aboard the Hypatia are anything like things over here, it probably didn't. Maybe you're busy. Or you don't want to talk to me. I get it. It was my birthday yesterday. 18 years old, can you believe that? Good news is I can drink legally now. Bad news is there's nothing to drink. Even the water's in short supply. They've got a whole bunch of us doing tests. BR sims and psychoanalysis and physicals. They've drafted a whole bunch of the Carenza refugees into the UTA over here. Wartime conscription, they called it. And now I'm 18, they're looking at me. Which I guess means we're in deeper sh** than anyone figured. I had a dream about you last night. No, not like that, relax. It was the day of the attack, and I see you in your truck in the parking lot. And I run up to the window and knock, but you don't let me in. You just stare, like you don't know me. And I pound on the glass and yell your name, but you just shake your head. And then you drive off and leave me there. Weird thing is, there's someone who looks exactly like me sitting right next to you the whole time, and he's laughing. And then the ships come. You think it means something? Anyway, I hope you're okay. Love, E.
Mason, Ezra. Psych Profile. Conscript Suitability Assessment. Interview Excerpt. Incept 3-19-75.
Interviewer. So, tell me about your mother.
Ezra Mason. Nice one, chum. You know, you're the first shrink I ever met with a sense of... Wait, you serious?
Does it bother you, talking about her?
It bothers me you snaffled your psych eval questions off the back of a box of Jupiter loops, chum. That's honestly your opener? Tell me about your mother? Are you dusted?
You've undergone psychiatric evaluation before, then.
What makes you say that?
You said I'm the first psychoanalyst you've met who had a sense of humor, meaning you've met others who didn't.
Proper little Sherlock over here, huh?
There's no need for hostility, Mr. Mason.
Mr. Mason is my dad.
Yes, your father. Tell me about him.
Nothing to tell. He's an engineer. Works the heavy processors in the Hermium refinery. Bad cook, worst jokes, you know. A dad.
Do you miss him?
What kind of question is that?
It's been over a month since he was killed in the Carenza assault. You still talk about him in the present tense. Do you think that's interesting, Ezra?
I think he's some of a dig.
All right, then. Let's talk about something that makes you happy.
You mean like lingerie models?
Tell me about your girlfriend.
Wow. You're really bad at this, chum. Like, if bad was a sport, you could bad for your planet.
Your girlfriend doesn't make you happy?
She dumped me the day our colony exploded. Rimshot?
Do you still care about her?
Next question.
It's just I noticed you put her down as your emergency contact on the Alexander intake form. It seems strange to name a girl you broke up with as your effective next of kin.
I never told you I broke up with her. She broke up with me.
Why?
That's so not your business. It almost punches clean past the event horizon of not your business and becomes your business again.
You two had a fight?
All couples have fights.
Is that how you got those scars on your arm?
What? Chum, I've had these since I was 8. What the fuck is wrong with you? You don't do this for a living, right? Please tell me, The real Alexander site crew all got X'd out by those Baytech assholes, and you're the guy who used to clean the scrubbers or something.
I work in the infirmary.
Jesus, I was kidding. You're serious? You're not even a qualified shrink? Well, that's just fucking chill.
I'm post-grad med from the UTA Academy, psych major. We do 6 months of field work in our final year. I pulled duty on the Alexander. But it doesn't take a graduate from Neo Oxford to see you have some serious anger issues, Mr. Mason. So we can talk about it if you like, or we can sit here and stare at the walls until our allotted hour is over. It's up to you.
Skip 51 minutes, 27 seconds of complete silence.
She asked for something I couldn't give her.
I beg your pardon?
My girlfriend, Katie. She asked for something I couldn't give her.
What did she ask you for?
Doesn't really matter now, does it? Old verse gone to hell and all. Point is, for someone like Katie, the asking part is hard enough. She doesn't do the vulnerable thing real good. She doesn't like needing anyone. So when I said no and couldn't give a reason, it kind of broke the back of it, you know?
Why wouldn't you give her a reason when you said no?
If I didn't tell her, you honestly think I'm going to tell you?
Which brings me back to your mother.
Oh? And how you figure that, Mr. Postgrad?
Typically, trust issues in teenagers stem from childhood abuse by authority figures, teachers and parents mostly. The fact that you've undergone psych eval before lends weight to the theory. Now, you obviously loved your father, hence your inability to process his death and your open hostility toward anyone who makes reference to it. The next logical line of inquiry is your mother. So, tell me about your mother.
You're taping this, right?
Audio only. Camera is faulty.
Okay. Well, for the benefit of the sight impaired, I am now raising my... Oh, dear. Yes, it's my middle finger at Mr. Postgrad here.
Mr. Mason.
Now I'm wiggling it.
Terminating interview at 1358 hours on 3-1975.
Look at it wiggle.
Mason Ezra. Psych profile. Conscript suitability assessment. INSEPT 32175. Page 2. Shows signs of post-traumatic stress disorder, aggression, avoidance, night terrors, and survivor guilt. Teamwork. Mr. Mason is a team player, capable of stepping up to leadership roles if required. High school sports, making life easier for military recruiters since 1914. Attitude. The death of Mr. Mason's father during the Carenza assault has left him with a deep sense of resentment and anger. However, his aggression is progressing and is almost entirely focused on Baytech Industries, and Baytech will be the ones shooting at him. Conclusion. Conscript, Priority 1. Comments. Mr. Mason's PTSD and anxiety levels would normally make him a washout for combat duty. However, with Alexander's current shortfall of suitable Cyclone pilots, and considering Mason's test results, spatial awareness 94th percentile, pattern prediction 99.7th percentile, it's our recommendation to conscript. The kid's hostility toward Baytech can be harnessed in a conflict situation. Throwing him into task-oriented activities in a social environment, combat training, may even prove therapeutic, and if not, a few months from now, he's not our problem. Get him in a cockpit ASAP.
Briefing note. This is the last significant point of contact between the subjects before the Copernicus incident. Note that almost 4 months have passed since Mason's last attempt at communication with Grant.
Intercepted personal message on board System Alexander. 2. Katie Grant, K. Grant Hypatia on board. From Ezra Mason, E. Mason Alexander on board. Date 7375. Timestamp, 2345 hours. Subject, do not send this.
Cades, I am not sending this to you. I am just writing it down and then I will delete it because of reasons. My friend Jimmy says it is best to get these things off your chest, and since you are not here to say this to, I'm pretending because you know think of my chest. It has things on it. So I am somewhat liquefied, but never fear, I do not spend my days drinking alone in my bunk. The hooch is too hard to get, LOL. It is a celebration, as I am now officially cleared for flight status. Me flying a cyclone, holy f***ing shit, what the f*** has the universe come to? Anyway, since I will never send this, I feel it fair to say I thought it was rough not to mail me back. Again, maybe you don't want to talk me, and that's fine, but a simple, I do not wish to speak to you, good day, sir, would have been nice, and this is shabby treatment, madam, verily. Since I will not send this, I also feel it is my duty to inform you that almost 6 months on, I think I still love you, and that makes me sad, because love shouldn't feel this way. It's like getting kicked in the stomach every time I think of you. And it makes me want to roll my face across this keyboard.
Briefing note. Mason's account of the Copernicus incident.
After action report, Ministry of the Interior, United Terran Navy, Alexander Fleet. Incept, 7-20-75. Location, Carenza 7 Barry Center, 778.76. Pilot ident, Ezra Mason. Rank, Second Lieutenant. Call sign, not applicable.
Fire does weird shit in space. You don't really think about it until you see something burn out there. You light a match in zero grav, the flame will be perfectly round. Like the way Terra looks in the old casts. And just like Terra, the flame won't flicker orange or yellow or even white out there in the black. It'll burn blue as a VR sky. Blue as a pretty girl's eyes. They didn't tell us that in basic. It kind of dunked my head. I've never written one of these before. An after-action report. You can probably tell. Sorry if I chuff it up. Between zero-grav flight sim and cyclone tech systems and memorizing the Alexander's 316 different firing solutions, they probably figured teaching us paperwork wasn't the best use of our time. I'm so green at the controls they haven't even given me a call sign yet. The general told me to just type up everything and let the sensors sort it out, so that's what I'll do. Follow f***ing orders. That's what I do. On 7-19-75, at 2100 hours, I was situated in the cockpit of my Cyclone fighter. Our fleet, consisting of battle carrier Alexander, science vessel Hypatia, and heavy freighter Copernicus, was in orbit around the first moon of Carenza 7, engaged in resupply operations. The fleet's H2O levels had reached critical, and Carenza 7A was mostly frozen water. So our crews were busy hauling 1,000-ton ice boulders up from orbit while the Lincoln got closer and closer. My fighter group was running dogfight drills 600 clicks off the Alexander's port side, skirting the edge of Carenza 7's atmosphere. Present during the incident were myself and three other members of Alexander Flight Group Echo. Our CO, Major Eli Prophet Hawking, First Lieutenant Xenia Dreadnought Alvaranga, and another rook, Second Lieutenant Mikael Carlin. I'd only been cleared for flight status 2 weeks earlier, and I was still a bunny at the stick. I'd logged near 100 hours in VR, but all the sims in the verse won't prep you for the real black. 2 minutes out there is about all it takes to teach you how little you know about everything. You're a speck of animated carbon and water with about 7 centimeters of ballistics-grade ceramic between you and absolutely nothing. 93 billion light-years of fucking nothing. No up, no down, no sky, no ground.